We're very thankful tonight to have everybody on. My brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call hosted by the Church of Christ in Hollow Heights, located 1005 West Little York in Houston, Texas. We're thankful to have everyone on the call. The call is still growing as usual. We experienced a high call volume tonight, and we're excited to have each and every person on the call tonight. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We want you to think of yourself as our VIPs. We believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right. It has full authority. God has given us His Word and advice and instructions on what we must do in order to make heaven our home, to save our most precious souls. And to the visitors, we hope you got your Bible and you will follow along with our speaker tonight and think about the things he will say as it pertains to the simple basic truth about saving your soul. Let's go to God in prayer tonight before we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings of life. We especially thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary, suffered on that cross, shed his blood, and washed our sins away, and also purchased his wife, his bride, the Church of Christ. We pray a special prayer for our visitors that their hearts be received with meekness. They can receive with meekness with their heart the engrafted word which is able to save their soul, Father. We thank you for our visitor. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ all across this nation who still support the basic simple truths as given to us in instructions according to your scriptures, according to the doctrine of Christ. Be with our speaker tonight, Brother Norris, as he will bring the message to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, Brother Jerry Norris, good friend of mine, we've grown very close together. He's out of Dallas, Texas. Brother Jerry Norris is going to bring us the truth about the one church. Brother Norris.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Can you hear me? I hope you can. I hope I did it right.
Sure.
Good to be here tonight. Thank you, Brother Flunder and Brother Stroud, for the great work that you guys are doing. And I'm certainly excited to be a part of this. I really appreciate the invitation. This call has grown, and we've got a lot of members of our congregation that are on tonight. And I know they're on. If I start calling names, they'll probably shout out. But we're just excited about having them here. I got a lot of people in Lubbock and Midland, and just around the Texas region that are listening in tonight. Tonight I will be dealing with the truth about the one church. And I know that you've heard a lot about this all this month, but I want to try to bring it to a close, the truth about the one church, so that you'll have an opportunity to make your decision tonight. I want to talk to you tonight why you should be a member of this one church, the Church of Christ. Now, we have seen and known in this world that there are many people that are looking for some type of religious belief. It is more in today's time than ever before. And while there are many looking for a religion that is more conservative, that fits their model or their mold, they want a church in their term. In reality, they should be looking for a church that is faithful and not man-made. You remember Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All these men this last month have spoken where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent. You did not find one telling you just to ask Jesus to come into your heart and you will be saved. Peter also declared in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20 that knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, tonight, you should make up your mind. We've had enough gospel preached all this week to save the whole world. But you should be a member tonight. If you're visiting tonight and you're on call because somebody invited you to hear, You should become a member of the Church of Christ because it is the only church mentioned in the Bible. We're talking about the oneness of it. The only one mentioned in the Bible. It is the only one that has been endorsed by God himself. Why do you say that, preacher? You remember in Matthew chapter 17, and about verse 1 and a few of the other verses, that Jesus takes Peter and the sons of thunder, James and John, up into a high mountain, and the Bible says he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. You remember, Peter got excited. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Here's the endorsement. Here it comes. You ready? And the voice, behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to hear him. God endorses his son. He wanted them to hear Jesus. He wants you and I to hear Jesus tonight and not just what man has to say. If you would be a member of the Church of Christ tonight, it is the only one mentioned in the Bible. Matthew 16 and verse number 18. Jesus says to Peter, I will build my church. Hear Jesus, God said. Hear him, I will build my church. Paul says in Romans 16 and 16, to salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. He also declared in 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Because we heard about Jesus in Acts 20, 28 through 30. You remember Paul said to the Ephesian elders, take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We worship tonight, church. We worship in a blood-bought church. Paul goes on to say in verse 29, but I know that after I leave here, that grievous wolves shall come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. What are they coming for? To draw away disciples after them. How did this church become bloody, preacher? How did it become bloody? And you said, we worship in a blood-bought church? Well, listen with me tonight. John's gospel says the Roman soldiers mocked him as the king of Jews by clothing him in a purple robe and a crown of thorns and led him slowly to Mount Calvary of Golgotha. He fell under the weight of the world on his shoulder. Now, I know he fell under the weight of the cross, but I say it was the world that weighted him down. They called Simon of Cyrene, was allowed to aid him in carrying that heavy burden that he had. And also they placed an execution. He was stripped and nailed to that cross, nailed his hand and his feet, and above him at the top of the cross was placed a condemnatory inscription that stated his crime of professing to be king of the Jews. It was in Hebrew, Greek, and also in Latin. On that cross, he hung in agony 6 long hours. Then the soldiers divided his garments and cast lots for his seamless robe. Various onlookers mocked him and taunted him as he hung there. Can you imagine that? Here is the Savior on the cross for all of humanity. And they mocking him, poking fun at him. The soldiers came, and they crucified him. They crucified him, and beside him, Jesus was in the middle of two thieves. On the soldiers at evening time broke their legs. They wanted to hasten death. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. They took a spear and drove it in the side of Jesus, from which poured out blood and water. He was taken down and buried in Joseph's new tomb. What a scene. What a sacrifice that he made for us and for that one church that is found only in Scripture. Our master took the sinner's place, our place, Think about it tonight. He took our place. It should have been you and I up on that cross. But Jesus took our place, suffered pain, agony, and gave his life blood in atoning death to satisfy the judicial wrath of the Father. You remember in Isaiah 53:10, Isaiah says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to shame and put him to grief, made him an offering of our sin. In 1 John 4:9-10, here's interesting. This was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now get this. Let me back up a little bit, because John says, his only begotten Son, that word begotten, minogene, designate the only one of the kind. God sent his only Son to die on Calvary's cross. And I don't know if you know how it feels to lose a son. God sent his only Son to die. And I know how it feels to lose a son. 8 months ago, I lost my only son. And I know the pain and agony that you can have by losing a loved one. God sent his Son to die for all of mankind. Now get this, my friend. Herein is love. John says not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that we might have eternal life. That's what the blood did for us on that cross. You need to be a member of the Church of Christ, because it has no creed or discipline but the Bible. Yeah, if you investigate the Bible, you'll find all what I'm talking about. These brethren all this week have laid the principles down to what God would have us to understand. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 declare that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Acts chapter 2, that is, verse 41 and 42. When the early disciples heard the apostles preach, the Bible said they gladly received the word of God and were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. They heard the gospel preached. They were excited about changing their lives. We ought to be just as excited tonight. You need to be a member of the Church of Christ, because all this month, these brethren have not took away from the Bible nor added their own stuff to it either. We speak where the Bible speaks, and are silent where the Bible is silent. That's an old phrase that we declared many, many years ago when I first come into the church. Brethren, we need to go back there. We need to go back there and declare to the world that we only speak where the Bible speaks, but we are silent where it is silent. We don't add to and take from it. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse number 11, and every man hath received a gift, even minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse number 11, he says, watch this here. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, church, we will do our very best to call Bible things by Bible name. Book, chapter, and verse is what our preachers hold to. Now, that means something to us. I don't know what it means to you, but Paul reminded us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8 and 9, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have preached, let him be accursed. Now listen to John in 2 John 9-11. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Then John says, Then John says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. If you do, you become part of his evil deed. I say right here, Samson, don't listen at Delilah. You don't need a haircut. You need the word of God. Now, here is what Christ did for this one church in the Bible. His sacrificial death took the law of Moses out of the way. What did he do with it, Norris? He nailed it to his cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Yes, in this offering of himself, he completed the fullness of the law. In Matthew 5:17 and Luke 24 and 44, Hebrews 9:22, also 10 and 12. The Jews are Gentiles, and Gentiles alike are now in the Christian dispensation. How were they not reconciled back to God in what? In one body, the church, by the cross, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Now, before I go any farther, I need to remind you that I'm giving you some information that you can make up your mind tonight. If you want to belong to Jesus according to God's standards and not according to mine, you want to obey the gospel of Christ, you want to put Christ on in baptism, you want Christ to come into your life, it's not laying your hand on the radio and asking to come into your heart, it's not saying a sinner's prayer anywhere, it's not telling you to do some good things in 24 hours you'll be rich. I don't know who's telling you all of this stuff. But I guarantee you, if you obey the gospel of Christ, you're all on the right road of saving your soul. And be reminded, church, that God is faithful. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And be reminded that these words of God's holy writ, that God cannot lie. Now, man can and will lie about what and how you should worship. Titus 1 and 2, Hebrews 6:18. God's justice could not permit sin to go unpunished, but his love could not permit the sinner to be banished. Therefore, what did he do? He sent Christ to save man. 1 John 2, 1 and 2, Luke 19 and 10. He sent him to seek and save that which was lost. And when Jesus declared to Peter in Matthew 16 and 18 that I will build my church, he was not talking about a framed-up building. I need to get that out of the way before you tackle me with that. Here is the clue. Jesus told Paul in Acts 26 and 18, he was sending him to the Gentiles to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes of understanding, Ephesians 1:18, to turn them from false teachers teaching to truth in 1 John 1:5-6, that they might have their sins forgiven and worship God in spirit and in truth. John says that God is spirit, John 4:23-24, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But I warn you, listeners, tonight, don't fall in love with worldly things. Good words and flashy speeches with no substance. John says in 1 John 2:15-16, don't love the world nor the things in the world. All that is in the world is not from the Father. In fact, the term world refers in many passages of Scripture to those persons who have rebelled against God and the church. They are out of step with their Creator because they have become followers of another prince, the ruler of this world, in John 12:21. That is Satan that we're talking about. John, in fact, says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. Man without God is sinful. Man without God is sinful. I don't know what you're going to do at judgment time, because it's coming. The judgment will come to every man. And one day we will die. The Hebrew 9:27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, he's got to stand before the judgment. The judge is going to be Jesus. He's going to declare to you what you've done in this life, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to stick with God's word. I'm trying to hold on to my salvation. I know there are challenges out there. We're in a challenge now. This pandemic caused us to do some things we don't like. We are out of the ordinary of doing things. But I want you to still hold on to God's unchanging hand. In fact, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's what John says. There's evil out there every night. It's something running rampant in our world, whether it's in Texas, New York, Philadelphia, Florida. Every time you open the news or turn your cell phone on Facebook, you see something that you are just amazed by it. But I want you to know being in this one doctrine, in this one church, will open our eyes. Paul reminds us that even in this church, even in the one church, that some will abandon the Lord and return to the world. He says evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13, especially in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul seemed to be saying that evil probably personifies as the man of lawlessness, and will become more and more powerful toward the end of the Christian age until it will seem that the devil has won the battle. And then suddenly, 2 Thessalonians 2:1-8, you need to read it, suddenly Christ will return and will slay that lawless one with the breath of his mouth. We have a victor. We have Christ that went to the cross, that shed his blood, that died on Calvary, that Father who loved him, his only begotten Son, sent him to die for our sin. He was treated cruelly. He was led to the slaughter as a sheep before her shepherd is dumb, Isaiah says. And yet, we just take a blind dim eye at the thing that he's done for us. And he's not trying to beg you to become a member of the Church of Christ. He simply want to enlighten your heart, give you the facts according to Scripture that we can make our own determination whether we want to live with God or continue living for man. The Bible teaches the fact that we must choose God's will above our own will. John 7:17, Luke 22:42. That is, we are to choose the Church of God's choice, not a man's choice. The body of Christ, Jesus 4, and verse 12 and verse 27. That church that we're talking about tonight was purchased with his own blood, and therefore belonged to him, Acts 20:28. Now, what does this mean, preacher, tonight? Well, this is valuable, precious, and loved by the Lord. Ephesians 5:22-33, the Bible says that Christ loved the church. He's the head of the church like man is the head of his household. He should be. Christ has the authority to direct his affairs. Jesus said, Matthew 28:18, it's my church. Mine signifies the ownership of the one Jesus that died on Calvary's cross. Ephesians 1:21, a name that is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The church does not have the right to dictate to the Lord what it wants, nor does it have the right to offer anything that it pleases God. In Ephesians chapter 22-24. Now, I want you to think about this proposition tonight, and then my message will be done. I want you to think about this tonight. If the Lord built more than one church, then the Lord approves of all of those over 5,000. Somebody said 4,500, and I hear so many rumors, but I know it's a bunch of them out there. If he approve of all those nothing but church. And if you turn your television on, you see all kind of preachers on TV. Men in blue jeans and socks and shorts and tennis shoes. And you know, I'm not saying the wardrobe identifies the preacher, but I'm just telling you, if you want to dress up something, dress up your soul with the word of God. The Lord approve of all of those churches in the world, yet the Lord built more than one church. And yet, there were some things the Father did not plant. Matthew 15:7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, in verse number 8, this people draweth unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Look at verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father, and then I said, if the Lord built more than one, he's over all of them, but he also declared, and that's why I know he's not, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. They are blind, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. God is not the author of confusion. Oh no, 1 Corinthians 14:33. If he built more than one, he's contradicting him own self. And I don't believe God would do that, do you? If he built more than one, he would be the head of all them that are built, that are not his. But he is the head of his church, Ephesians 1:22-23. He gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Yeah, head. He's the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the church, the savior of the body. And yes, he is tonight. And so tonight, church, as I bring my message to a close, I want you to consider being in the church of Christ. It's the only one that you can become a part of tonight. It's the only one that begs you to surrender your life to him through hearing the gospel, believing what you've heard, repenting of your sin, which is important, Luke 13:3-5. I tell you, they accept you again, you shall all likewise perish. Admitting that Jesus Christ is God's Son, Matthew 10:32-33. And then being desirous of baptism. You remember in Acts 2:47 when Peter and the rest of the apostles were preaching, and after they finished this great gospel message, they started asking questions, what must we do in order to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sin. The problem that separates you and I from God is our sin life. If we get sin and humanity aspect of what God wants and let God tell us what he wants through his word, we'll be all right. And then be desirous to be baptized. Look what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says, Acts 2:47, praising God in heaven, favor with all the people, that the Lord added after they were baptized to the one church that we're talking about tonight. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited about this gospel meeting, and I'm glad it's being extended over because many people need to hear more about the word of God. God bless you tonight, and I trust that my message will help us out in the life to come. I'll turn you back over to our host at this time, Brother Tommy Brooks.
Oh, boy. Brother Jerry Norris, my friend, you brought us there, man. You took us to the cross. It's about the church, y'all. It's about Christ, suffering, and it's a bloody church. So true. That was some precious blood shed on that cross. It touches our heart to hear tonight. All the men we brought has on this month about the one church. They have been telling us the same thing a different way. That the Bible says there's but one. To my friends and those who are listening, we speak the truth in love. We believe in one God. And to believe this Bible, there's only one church we can believe in. We pray that you consider that as pertaining to your soul salvation. Be baptized as soon as possible. Get back with the person who put you on the call tonight and tell them, I want to be washed in the blood. through baptism, and I want to be in the blood purchased church that Christ died for. I heard it all month. It's time to obey. Obey him by being baptized. Get with that person who put you on the call or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. You can let me know you want to get baptized. You email me or you call me at 281-750-2702. That's 281-750-2702. If you want to look Brother Brooks up, you can always go to our website. And on the website, you'll find all the information you need. You can also, these sermons are recorded. That's on HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net in Houston, Texas. Just Google Holland Heights Church of Christ, Brother Tom Brooks, you'll find us. And you'll be able to get the recorded message. They're free. You download them, share them with everyone. Go back and listen to them for yourself. And so we thank each of you. We're excited about what we got coming this rest of this week. We got Brother Brock Kendall. Brother Florida Tom. We got Brother Cameron Friedman. And of course, I'm going to close out the month myself. We got subjects in June. Some great speakers such as the thief on the cross, the one baptism. People who say calling on the name of the Lord. The truth about once saved, always saved. What one must do to be saved. We're going to talk about baptism for the remission of sin. Whose prayer to God here, saved by grace alone. Whose name's in the book of life. We're going to talk about mechanical instruments, music, in worship. We're going to talk about the Lord's way. We're going to talk about that second death and what's in a name. Oh, we got some powerful subjects coming up. How to avoid torment after death. The power of the cross. The cleansing power in the blood. We got the seed concept. We got a lot of great speakers such as Thomas Foster, Glenn Collett, Norman Spann, Nathan Franson. Oh, we just got a line of David Banks out of Van Buren, Gary Collett, Lewis Parker Jr., B.J. Clark, Richard Stevens. I'm just excited tonight. If you think maybe I'm talking too much, let me slow it down. I just want you all to know that what we are doing, we have tonight, a large call tonight, a large call to our visitors. Please consider the things we're talking about. Keep listening. Keep listening. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you for supporting us. We appreciate you. We're trying to bring on speakers. We'll bring it very simple and keep it simple. We've had repetitive messages, repetitive topics for the purpose of you being able to hear it. From a different preacher coming from the same book. And so I hope you've enjoyed this month. We 3 nights left for this month, and then we'll kick off June. At this time, we're going to ask Brother Raph to come on and give us a closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and the opportunity tonight that we've had to hear your word proclaimed by Brother Jared and I, Father. We thank you so much, Father, that you put in the heart and mind of Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder with the opportunity to present the gospel through this nationwide gospel call, Father, for the month of May and also for the month of June. Father, there are thousands that have heard your word proclaimed, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the word of God, the inspired word of the Bible. And the Bible alone has been brought to each and every one of us through this message tonight and through the other message that we've heard, Father, thus far. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bless all the listeners on the call. We pray, Father, that their heart has been pricked in some way if they are not a member of the one and only church, the Church of Christ, that our Lord and Savior established. That you will make it possible, Father, for them to get with someone to study further, or if they know your word enough now and know what they must do from the studies thus far, they know that they must obey the gospel by being immersed in the water grave of baptism, becoming a child of yours, Father. We pray that they will do that this very hour and not hesitate at all. Thank you, Father, for your word and for its power. And that we have this opportunity to reach out to all those throughout the world by this means tonight, Father. And we pray that you will be with the messengers as they further present your word the rest of the month and into June, Father. And may many souls be brought to thee, and may many souls repent of their sins and turn back to their faith, Father, and turn back to you. Forgive us of our sins, and thank you, Father, for your Son that you allowed in my stead to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, Father, that through the shedding of his blood I might be redeemed, and that salvation comes only through your Son by complete obedience to him. I pray this prayer now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have we prayed. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ralph, Manhattan Heights. Church of Christ. We thank you all of you listening audience. We appreciate you all. As he said in the prayer, we are praying. Not only are we noticing that we are getting baptism, but we're also getting people who are being reminded of who we are in the Church of Christ. Let's go back to the church to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Do things the Bible way and wear Bible names. I hope you all have a good night's rest. We love you.